Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. My guest today is Lavendar. Lavendar, who roams through the dimensions, who is what you're kind of a hybrid of ET history and also this planet. So welcome to the show, Lavendar.
Thank you. Well, I probably would say that I'm more of a galactic tracker. I do galactic astrology. And I have found ways of finding the star seeds on the planet based on astrological placements.
Wow.
And I've been in this, work and movement for many, many years. In fact, I was told many, many years ago out in the sand dunes of California with George Van Tassel that I was to take information and sit on it for over 25 years, which I've done. Mm-hmm. And I'm just now starting to put that information out on my radio show.
Oh, that's exciting, and your radio show is wonderful. And what's it called, Starseeds? What is it called?
Starseed Radio Academy. We're on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for 2 hours, and we have a lot of different guests. We've been on the air for like 5 years. And, you know, Veronica, 5 years ago when we first put our website up, you could type in Starseed, and maybe a couple of things might come up. But you type in Starseed now. And it's page after page after page. Why? Because something happened around December 20th of 2012, and it wasn't the Mayan calendar ending. It was the arrival and the awaking up process that was happening all over the planet with people that had starseed, people that were walk-ins from other times and dimensions started going into activation. The light workers on the planet started buzzing. The interest in quartz crystals became a major concern again. You know, back in the early 80s, we had that big crystal movement. Well, we're about to have another big crystal movement again.
Wow. Yeah, even my 10-year-old grandson was starting to get into it recently. But I love the term starseeds, because when you said, I guess the way I understand it, because everything is vibrational, we all talk about frequencies and so on, but it is almost like I'm also one, activated sending out those frequencies so we could all connect. Do you remember years ago, Lavendar, it was really difficult for light workers to find each other and be in a group, right? And now...
Well, it's not that hard now. And you know why? Because somehow we've got these galactic GPS locators that are beeping in our head, and other people's are beeping, and our beeps are coming together, and that's how we're finding one another.
And it's actually a rising movement, so there must be more and more star seeds arriving on the planet as well as besides awakening.
Millions. In fact, I have a paragraph that I'd like to read about what a star seed is.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Star seed, souls having lived or originated on other planets or other galaxies, on spacecraft or in other dimensions and interlocking world spaces, who have volunteered to assist in bringing the new age of reason and assist Earth through the next evolution. They inhabit their human body from birth. Some are born knowing this. Others are to be activated or wake up at a later time. The timing of the moment of birth is deliberate. Souls agreeing to come to Earth together find corresponding genetics that fit their soul's mission. A lot of experiments have been put in motion through bloodlines just for the purpose in order to house the starseed operation. There are many variations of these experiments with starseed, as there are many combinations of astrological star codings through planet placement, blood genetic requirements to match galactic agendas. One may have astrological markings through starseed codes, but without the bloodline to enhance the markings, it gets more difficult for a starseed to resonate to a galactic agenda. Starseeds are programmed, so to speak, to aid in the activation of their brothers and sisters in collective advancement through moral, ethical, and mental spiritual guidance. When star seeds are called upon to gather in unison of purpose, that is when others seem to witness miracles or magic in motion because of their combined galactic heritage. Most star seeds that are truly activated from all levels seem to hold their optimism about the missions that they have chosen. Another trait of star seed is to totally rejuvenate their bodies through meditation or other modes of healing. Others not yet activated into their knowing can and do turn sometimes to darker agendas of behavior. True power of starseed comes from knowing their total journey. There seems to be a constant among starseed, and that is that a guidance system seems to oversee their stay in Earth and will assist when truly needed. And that's what I've written about what a starseed is.
Well, that's wonderful. Can we talk about bloodlines? Is that's not just blood type, is it? It's what is it?
Blood type. But, you know, recently we had Nick Redford to be on our show last Tuesday, mm-hmm. and he wrote a book called Bloodline of the Gods. And I'll tell you what, our switchboard was jammed. I mean,
really?
We had so many people calling in that it almost knocked us off the air. And his book, it starts out talking about when the Anaki first brought a bloodline to the planet, and it was Rh negative. And that's how he's been tracking some of the star seeds and some of the people on the planet through these bloodlines, these ET bloodlines. And he says they have this Rh negative factor. So at some point you might want to interview him.
I'd love to do that. But also, does it mean that if you don't have – see, because I think – I have an ET lineage. I believe that, actually. But I'm not an Rh negative.
There's a lot of ways to have ET lineage. It's not just the Rh negative. I mean, that's just one component that we heard about from him.
Okay.
But the way I track it is I find in astrological charts there's markings, like 25, 26, and 27 degree planets. And I think I talked about this on your show before.
Yes.
And I went through a 3.5-year demonstration where this was proven to me. I won't take the time to go into the details of that. But after I went through this long series of warping my mind with this, I came to know we had a way of finding the starseed activations in people through astrological timing of their births. And when I found these markings, then these people started resonating to certain types of material. And then we started putting together a trip to France with Kathleen McGowan. I said, you know what, let's look for the Jesus Mary Magdalene marking and see how many people will resonate to this that want to go to France. Well, it wasn't any time at all that we had 27 people that all had the same markings. So when they got together, it was like a soul family reunion.
Well, what does it mean? Does it mean that they are a part of that tribe, or does it mean that their cellular imprints have brought through the frequencies of those beings? What does it mean?
Well, it has a lot of tags to it, but I would say that when I find the 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Virgo.
Sorry. Okay.
To the person's bloodline at the same time, then I start resonating to their memories of in their cosmic bank account of finding where they were maybe during the time of Christ or during the 2,000 years since then, because Christianity has been on this planet for a very long time, and certain people have chosen to incarnate to have experiences through the Christianity movement. And for a lot of star seeds, I'm finding that they simply go, you know what, I want to go back and tell the truth about what really happened. I want to be part of the team that straightens up the spiritual essence on the planet and get rid of the lies that's been told to us through the churches and mainly through the Catholic Church. So I find a lot of people that have these markings. So when we found 27 people with these markings that I just talked about, they all got on airplanes and flew to France and were part of Kathleen McGowan's group. And what we found is when this group came together, that more information started pouring out of them that they didn't even know they had. It was like they started talking, they started remembering, they started having experiences. All kinds of things started happening because the group came back together again. And it looks like that this was all planned from upstairs, the way that we were putting these trips together. It's like, surely I wasn't the one really in charge of putting this together, because when we finally saw the people, we could tell that this was a divine appointment that was put in motion.
How exciting that is. So do you think that we're just being organized from out there? Is it from the ETs? Is it from celestial influences of all kinds? What is it? Are we being organized?
Absolutely. There's a lot of agendas on the planet. And the Pleiadians seem to have, I would say, probably the biggest agenda. You know, every species kind of has their turn in the barrel, and it's the Pleiadians' turn for evolution on the planet. So when I went to Cairo, Egypt in 1983, and I got to have experiences with them in the Great Pyramid of Giza, it was shown to me that they were in charge of a lot of things that would be coming to the planet in the next, you know, next 30 or 40 years. And I became part of that knowingness. So when I brought the Giza crystals back from Cairo, they had charged them up. And these were little tiny crystals that I had a diver go down to the Jeffrey mine and get about 40 pounds of them.
Hmm.
And they're real tiny, they're hair-like. But they charged them with energies. And I said, well, how powerful are these? They said, well, you have nothing on your planet to measure these with. But you give them to people, and they'll have a mind all of their own. They'll let you know where they want to go. And I said, what? They'll have a mind? I said, yeah. Well, yeah, sooner or later, we all found out that these crystals had a way of speaking to people.
Oh, wow.
It started freaking a lot of people out. But then others really got a hold of it and went, wow, this is some of the highest experiences I've ever had. So over the years, I have collected these stories that happened about these Giza crystals that the Pleiadians had charged up. And I'm probably going to end up writing a book about them because I keep getting letters from people. You know, I thought that they were all handed out in the world in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that I was with, when he died, I wasn't with him when he died. So his daughter brought me a box that had 10 pounds of these little Giza crystals. And I went, oh, no. And what he had done, when I sent him to the post office to mail him, he takes them out. So I thought my assignment wasn't complete. I got very angry at first. You know, I went, oh, no. But then now I'm really happy he did it because of the star seed that need him now on the planet.
Oh, that's
so the
wonderful.
People that I do sessions with, and if they have these star seed markings, then I offer them to them. You can't buy these crystals from me. They're not for sale. I have to gift them.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
So these crystals, for example, I guess I'm really interested in what it takes to activate the starseed, and they come out different times, and what it takes to really awaken to, for example, the agenda, the Jesus Mary Magdalene agenda that you had people, their markings showed you that they're all aligned. What does it take? Does it just take evolution of the soul inside? Does it take the right time? Does it take steering from the Pleiadians or what?
I think it's a combination. I think it's a choice that we all make when we come to the planet. Before we come, a lot of us know what's at stake when we come. We know that we want to be on the planet for the big event. The big event is going to be happening in our lifetime, and that big event is when we have several hundred spaceships come down over the planet where everybody sees and everybody knows that we have extraterrestrial presence. And I think that those that have chosen to come to be on the planet for this event knows the responsibility that they have for knowing this. Because a lot of us will become ambassadors when this happens. We'll have to calm the fears of our friends, our family, and our communities, you know, because religion will take a flip. The financial Wall Street will just go wild. All kinds of things will happen in this place. And I'm really looking for this to happen in the next couple of years.
Wow, I think I'm very excited. So what do you think the Pleiadian, you had something to say about the Pleiadians themselves and what it is they're bringing us through at this time. And are they good? Are they do they have a negative section as well? And you know, who's in charge and what's the most?
I have never had any negative experiences with the Pleiadians. And, you know, I'm sure there are some somewhere, but it's never been in my experience.
And you've had a lot of extraterrestrial experiences, haven't you?
Yeah, most of my life. Well, let me just, I have written what a Pleiadian lineup is, so just let me read what I have written about it.
Okay.
Millennia ago, an advanced civilization from the Pleiades star cluster introduced their genetics on planet Earth. They observed the evolution of the species, experimenting with ways to further spiritual development. Atlantis, the ancient Egyptian and Greek civilizations, were all Pleiadian projects. Their program energy signature was encoded and imprinted on DNA, the way fingerprints are left behind when you touch something. This energy signature responds to its own origins like a radio tune for one station. So when the sun is at galactic 25, 26, and 27 degree of Taurus or Scorpio, we are in astronomical alignment with the Pleiades, both at the conjunct in Taurus and the opposition in Scorpio. The Pleiadian energy signature on the planet is activated, like a gong that lasts for 3 to 4 days twice a year. It is the time of Pleiadian entrances and exits when they tend to their projects, whether starting, maintaining, or ending. Those with a matching energy signature can be activated, woken up, those already awake can be empowered, and those ready to finish and graduate may leave or start something new at a higher level. While the Pleiadian interaction here isn't limited to this timing, it is the time of the highest activity. Someone born with a planet or a house cusp at the galactic degree in Taurus or Scorpio would be connected to the Pleiadians at some level all the time, unless their bloodline has been so intermixed that the original encoding is skewed. It's like your radio station isn't coming in loud and clear, but if you really want to, you can train your ears to listen. Pay attention to what happens on May 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, and November 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, not only in your personal life, but on a global scale. Because of leap year, sometimes the sun might reach 25 degrees before the 16th, but that's something you can easily find out thanks to the Internet, as it is astronomical information. So that is basically the information about the Pleiadian alignment. And these were the things that I was really, I was in Cairo, Egypt on Pleiadian lineup in November of 83.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've been tracking and working with for a very, very long time. And when they come to the planet to work with us, there are certain things that they will enhance when they come. For instance, scientific discoveries balancing our destructive measures, atomic concerns are a primary, political figures being replaced by walk-ins or clones, leaders of nations balancing the needs of the people or the planet. Implant technology will surface on a global scale of knowledge along with GPS trackings from satellites placed by ETs instead of the government. Nikola Tesla and the Tesla experiments at every level will be revealed, including the cloning of the Tesla kids on the planet, the ones that have this genius DNA and unfulfilled missions. Tesla was not Pleiadian, but he was from Orion. ET technology will surface and force UFO disclosure to the masses as other foreign countries will take the lead away from the United States. That's already happened, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Earth's planetary ecosystem with climate changes become predominant as more destruction, famine, loss of stability within the ecosystem demands changing of the guard. Stewards of Jim PowerPoints will be reinforced as other stewards of the land will hold devices for frequency of balance and will become beacons of planetary balance. Alternative energy resources are demanded and given globally. Food resources will change the nutritional value of nourishment. Harmful chemicals will be identified and be neutralized on several levels. The secret of Star Wars technology will be announced in detail to the masses. Mind control technology will cause millions to go to the streak in an outcry. Ancient scrolls depicting past Pleiadian experiments will surface and be documented. Quartz crystal will receive a new influx of interest, especially for starseeds. And crystal mines in Arkansas will reveal and give up the secrets from old Atlanteans. And HARP, attached to military bases linked to cell phone towers, and cell phones will be dismantled as the harmful effects can no longer be tolerated. Cell phone manufacturers will install from factory a device to protect the user from harmful radiation. It could take an act of Congress as more evidence points to cancer. Volcanoes, earthquakes, and a shift in the Earth's axis will terminate many off the planet. Migratory workers will also be included in this mass walk-in demonstration from all races as traveling light and temporary residence is preferred by many. Astrology, astronomy, science, religion come together in another alignment of reason. Airplane travel will be a focus of many walk-ins, as an abundance of them are in the transportation recreation business. Also, food, hotel, recreation destination will be areas of interchange for many starseeds. The War of the Minds experiment will be so maximized that many will not make it on the planet, as many will die from heart attacks and fright, while others will instigate war with others that they do not understand. The blood-coding factions will be launched in order for the balance to come forth for the coming guard of this alignment, which happened 26 degrees of Sagittarius on December 21st, 2012. With the present mixing of blood and the UFO disclosure on the planet, there seems to be no other way except to allow the war of the minds to take place without interference or intervention. The only intervention would be in case of atomic war, and that is the safeguard, as this will not be tolerated. Many Pleiadian walk-ins have had this duty for a long time, and many of them will not be going home because of their dedication to preserve the planet and its people. A special leave of absence from the Pleiades was extended to those courageous beings on the planet of Earth will truly know of their sacrifice not to go home, as others will do. And that's some of the things that I've written about Pleiadian lineup.
Well, it doesn't sound like peaches and cream. I wondered also if, it's very,
but
very...
Isn't. It's real. It's real. This is what's happening.
Okay. Are there not other extraterrestrial beings that are influencing? You mentioned Tesla and Orion, but I'm thinking, are there not other influences from other galactic people, beings?
Absolutely. There's 33 species that are aboard the starship Bethlehem that come and go from there. It's an intergalactic commission.
Like a consortium.
So, yeah, there's a lot.
But the Pleiadians are our parents in a way, genetic parents, are they not?
The Pleiadians, they're in charge.
Okay.
There's a lot of people on the planet that have Cirrus bloodline, or Vegan, or Lyra, or Arcturian, or from different places. It isn't all about Pleiadian bloodlines.
Okay. And so it's very interesting. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the whole thing about a lot of people leaving, we've seen that. That's just a huge reality, isn't it? I was hoping you'd say they could change all that, but I guess that's a part of the job, eh?
Well, we can change it. We have been asked to be born and come to the planet and make the decisions that we need to make for our people and the planet. You know, it's like some of us have been given certain things to do that activate other people so that we all rise at once and have unison of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened.
And do you think we're evenly dispersed all over the world? We are, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So in some of the more, even the refugees, I was hearing the other day that even like huge refugees that we're all worrying about and praying for, there's as much rising light in and amongst some of them as there is in somebody who's got a nice little home and it's stable somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like the energies of the starseed on the planet, they resonate at a different level of knowingness. It doesn't have anything to do with money or power or religion or 3D activities. Mm-hmm. The starseed emanations that come from a person, the scientists say, oh, that's junk DNA. We don't know what it is. Well, it's the starseed DNA. That's what it is. Okay? Mm-hmm. And once it's activated, it's like you can't turn it off. Once it's on, you know, the only way you can turn it off is the person dies and leaves the planet. Once it's turned on, it's on. That's why a lot of people are migrating. That's why a lot of people woke up after December 20th of 2012 and January, February, March. People woke up and went, okay, I want to quit my job. Other people went, oh, I need to get a divorce. You know, somebody else said, oh, I'm going to move. I mean, we had such influx all over the planet. People were just right and left changing their lives, and they're still doing it.
Well, so starseeds ostensibly we have a job to do. So part of the migration thing is that it's not like escaping where the volcanoes or the water or this or that. It's actually moving into position, would you say?
Yeah, it's moving into position. You know, their souls are activated into knowing that they maybe need to be somewhere else. Or maybe they need to just, you know, park it where they live. You know, whatever it is for them, they'll somehow internally have this silent message that activates in them so that they'll be able to find their soulmates or find where they need to be or activate a talent that maybe they didn't even know they had.
And there's a whole unifying force, too, amongst them, is there not?
Right. And when certain groups come together, oh, my goodness. Like, we have this Starseed Crystal Quest in Hot Springs, Arkansas. twice a year. We'll be there in October, and then we're going to be there next May on Pleiadian lineup. And we only invite the people that have the star markings in their chart that matches the quartz crystal and the Atlantean alignment and the Pleiadian alignment. And those are 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Scorpio, Scorpio and Taurus, and then of Cancer, Capricorn, Leo, and Aquarius. And when those people want to come, we do their charts, and we look at their markings, and then we put them together with roommates that have the markings like their markings.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting thing. Yeah. So what happens?
When we come together in circle and everybody starts seeing one another, I mean, it's like, oh, home week. It's really great.
Wow.
It's really great.
And I bet the vibration just moves and moves with all that. It's kind of the more vibrational, empathetic, isn't it?
In fact, talk about vibrational. There was 11 of them standing out waiting for the van to pick them up. And the van would call us and say, well, where are the girls? They're not out here. And then the girls would call and say, why didn't the van stop? He keeps driving by us. Why didn't he stop? Well, what had happened, they were standing there vibrating, and he couldn't see them. They just went invisible.
One of my favorite lines is, change the energy, change the reality. So I think that's a good example of that as well.
It really is.
So there's so many things, like the food. You were talking about the food and the quality of food. Were you commenting that the Pleiadians are going to help us with
this? They're giving us ways to enhance our food production. Like, I know that several years ago we were approached by a group that showed us that the sound, that they could play music to plants out in the field and make them more nutritious and give them more healthy vitamin take just from playing music to them, those kinds of things.
Well, that makes sense.
The new technologies that they're able to show us how to increase the nutrients in our food.
Sounds can neutralize the GMO. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but they can neutralize the GMO thing or the preservatives, not preservatives, the chemicals that are being put in the seeds, right?
Right. So some of these Tesla kids are coming up with some of these inventions that are doing this.
Wow. And so whilst we're going through these incredible challenges, some of the greatest things in the history of life on this planet are happening, aren't they?
They are. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find more archaeology digs uncovering all kinds of things that are just going to blow apart some of the scientists' old thinking. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't match what we have studied in school. Things are changing for the academia. People.
Well, this is going to sound like it. That's very interesting, actually. This is going to sound like a very kind of basic, earthy thing in this wonderful, vaulted conversation. But I keep thinking that Bernie Sanders and Pope Francis, it being so incredibly different than any of the systems that have happened, are some kind of electrode or some kind of beginning transformational change. I don't mean that they're the heroes that will change things. I mean they're standing in the middle, they're sending out a peaceful, loving, possible
vibration. Well, they're sending out a signal for others to gravitate to that align to what they're saying. Now, like when the Pope comes here, mm-hmm. You know, I really think that he may drop a huge announcement. And it may be that angels are real and that ETs are here. I'm thinking he might do that, especially when he gets to Congress and the Senate and does that joint speech.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because he is so, you know, looking at him, you go, he's actually just like, he's an alive, real being. He's not a Fig Newton of his own imagination like a lot of these leaders are, right? He's not a warmonger.
No.
And a lot of us have been very, very panic-stricken by some of the Catholic leadership through the centuries, you know. I don't feel like
so
that.
Many scars, to so many souls. I have in my counseling sessions, hardly a day goes by that I don't find somebody that was absolutely, you know, crushed through the Catholic Church.
Well, I was one of those.
It seemed to be the place where people stomp their feet and say, look, I want out of here. I want to go to another lifetime, and I don't ever want to come back here again. I find that a lot.
Yeah, it's really, and it's obvious reasons, because it's like God's got the Monty Python foot right on your head right off the bat, right? But I wonder, tell me this, Lavendar, do you think that, I'm going to say it anyway. Do you think that Pope Francis, and do you think that Bernie Sanders and probably others in those positions could be starseeds?
Absolutely.
Good, yeah. I mean,
there's a look about them. There's something that happens when I see, there's certain people that I look at and I go, oh, they're a starseed. Oh, they're a starseed. Then I see some that I go, oh, they're a starseed with a walk-in. Yeah.
I haven't been able to see the walk-ins yet, but I think I used to see starseeds quite well. But it's funny, I could see them and I'm going, okay, I don't know if it matters if Bernie actually gets in. But I think his ability to, and it's interesting that Trump's name is Trump, means takes the tricks, right? But it's like kind of a huge metaphor going on out there right now, isn't it?
You know, I had the funniest vision of him, of Trump, yesterday. I saw him at the Vatican being a pope.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
Yeah.
Now
and
that,
I thought, oh my,
Lavendar, that was
I thought, oh my goodness, why am I seeing this?
But that wasn't the future.
No, it was in the past.
I'm just kind of quasi-questioning you. Well, I think it's a very interesting caricature of a court right now with these characters showing up, you know.
Yeah, it's a clown car, isn't it?
It really is. It's quite amazing. So what about science and what about health and healing and what about travel off the planet for the basic people? Do you think that we're going to have to leave this planet in order to survive in some, like your ship that's 27 feet long?
I do not think we need to leave here.
Okay.
I think there's going to be enough of us rise up and take our place in the scheme of things and protect our planet and be in charge of the things that we need to be in charge of. In other words, the education of our children and to keep the ley lines and the gym PowerPoints and the nature that we need to really keep our environment as pristine as we possibly can, and we've done a really hell of a job of destroying our oceans and our water supply. And the water, people should be more conscious of what water is all about. Now, people in California are really kind of getting that message right now, and if that travels further than California, can you imagine what would happen to the rest of the world if we just started, you know, having droughts everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be prepared for the decision-making of how do we, you know, get sustainable with our food and water and with our survival skills.
I think as long as the money is the biggest goal for people, we're not going to get there. We have to look for values, don't we? We have to expand in the values of life and transformation rather than...
The people in charge need to think more about their children and their grandchildren than themselves. Yeah.
But sure. Do you think that we can see? I think we're all coming to. I keep getting this feeling and picture, and from what you said, we're all coming together, at least vibrationally. We're resonating together. Is that what's going to create the big enough field to kind of?
I think enough of us on the planet, with activating starseed codes and with evolutionary intentions to make this place a better place, that we will simply rise up and make it happen. I really think we will.
So what about us going off the planet in amazing vehicles of travel? Are we going to be doing that as well, or is that going to be, are we not going to be allowed out into the, do you see what I mean? Are we going to be allowed into the universes? Because we've all heard.
Be quite, It'll be quite some time before they allow that to happen. Okay. When you step away from our planet and see the junk that's floating around our planet, why would they want us to go visit them anywhere? And when was the last time that Earth ever made a decision in the universe? When did they ever come and ask us for advice? Never. So it's going to be some time before we can be welcomed out there anywhere until we get our act together here.
So we're having the starseeds awaken to have more of a collective view of an expanding and transcendent civilization.
Right.
But that's not a huge, huge percentage of people, is it?
Well, you'd be surprised how many star people are on the planet. Millions and millions and millions. And after 2012, there was something that shifted and happened in the bloodlines, in the serums that was given to bloodlines. See, during the time of Atlantis, mm-hmm. after Atlantis happened, they put together a backup system so Atlantis would never happen again.
Oh, good.
And so they did it through bloodlines. They would take people aboard ships and give them serums in their blood and bring them back down to the planet, and then they would track those bloodlines. And that's how they've been able to track a lot of these star seeds on the planet for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And then one day they turn it all on with a technology, and that's what happened on December 20th of 2012. They turned the technology on the planet, and that's why people started awakening, started moving about. And if you've noticed, I mean, it's like people have just become kind of information junkies about ETs and spiritual matters, and, you know, people are like wanting to stay home and read instead of go to work.
And they're wanting the truth. Yeah. They're wanting the truth, don't they, you know?
Absolutely.
Tell me, when you talk about bloodlines, and I want to talk about more of that with you, but you also mentioned implants, and I'm not really sure if I understand implants, but I do see them in people sometimes, and I thought that many had implants imposed upon their potential, but sometimes they're there to increase the potential. Am I right? Can you talk about them?
Okay, implants, they're a technology that extraterrestrials have used, and our government also has used this, okay? So they can do two things. They can empower you, or they can cancel you.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're physically put in your body, and other beings can tap into that energy and see and hear everything you see and hear. It's a very advanced technology that can empower you, or it can take you offline. And this is the way that they've done several evolutionary patterns on different planets at different times.
So we're
now,
not really
go,
able
oh,
to...
Oh, if I have an implant, I want to get rid of it. Well, maybe you need it. So it's like you have to be very discerning about people that come to you and go, oh, you have an implant, let me take it out. Well, maybe you don't need to take it out. And who's that person that can decide that? So
I think that's really, really interesting, because how do we get to see our own implants and know the value of them? Is it possible to see your own?
I have a little rule that I go by. If people bring you flowers, you know it. If they bring you swords, you know it. There's only two energies. There's up spiral, that's alive and living,
mm-hmm.
and there's down spiral. That's death and dying. I don't look at it as good and bad, okay?
Okay.
I look at it as an energy flow.
Okay.
So if an implant is placed in me and I'm not functioning right, and if I'm sick all the time, or if I can't stay true to my mission, then I would have an implant that would need to be taken out.
Mm.
It's like your own awareness can tell you whether you have one or not. It's called, how is your life going?
Okay, so I know a couple of people. Well, I don't know that many people that I've had to work on implants, but I know a couple of people that get incredible pains around an implant. And I should think that if it's going to be really good for them, that pain wouldn't be increasing.
That's not true. That's
oh, really?
Not true.
Okay.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Sometimes you get implants and they do, and some of them are painful. And just because they're painful doesn't mean they're not working and helping you.
So they help you to be in the truth of your journey, what your purpose is here, and what your service is. Is that right?
Yes, what they will do is they will kick in your starseed codes to help you so that you'll be able to pull in your masterships, be able to rise above anything that's happening in your life, give you direction. You'll be, you know, driving down the street and something will say, turn here, stop now. You know, those kinds of things that help you navigate your life.
The GPS factor.
So automatically turn on a different kind of frequency that keeps you safe.
Okay.
That keeps you knowledgeable, mm-hmm. and keeps you on top of what you're doing with your life. Give you discernment when you see people that you know you don't need to be around. They'll go, uh-oh, you know, like, turn here, don't go there, that person, mm-mm. I mean, those are the kind of things that will happen if you're in alignment with your implant.
So if you have an implant and you have a lot of pain with it and you're always, always poor and have huge health problems, do you think?
Well, that would be another matter, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, I'm just throwing it out there because people do ask
those questions. Absolutely, and I've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Seen people that have implants that cancel them. There, you know, there are some government people that go around and decide that they want to experiment with some people, and they will mess with them. I've seen a lot of people getting messed around with implants. So they're not all positive, but they're not all negative either. I see more positive implants than I see negative implants.
So it's interesting because you know, you're saying basically that you know when you're being held back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the answer right there, isn't it?
Being
confined, right?
Yeah.
That's really interesting, isn't it? So let me see. About the oceans. The oceans can be fixed up, right?
Oh, yes, it is. I'll tell you that that swarm of stuff that's coming from Japan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you've seen the picture of it on the Internet, but it's just, it's horrific.
Is it?
It's horrific.
I haven't looked because, I don't want to. Anyway. well, it's so overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah, it is overwhelming.
So can it be neutralized?
Yes, there are several people that are working on that now. Yeah.
Because it's interesting to me is there are beings. I remember speaking with someone else a while back and said that I'd had this flash as an intuitive of this huge kind of atmospheric repairing thing going around the world. And this being said, it was a channeled being, but a guest that I had. And he said, well, we're already working on that. Which is kind of
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are being done inside our grid, mm-hmm. In the inner earth, on the ocean floors. We have a lot of ET bases in the ocean and in lakes and different waters. In fact, where we go to Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
There is a scientific base underneath Lake Ouachita over there, and we've had several sightings of that little scout ships coming out of the water at night. Yeah,
aww.
People have seen them.
Well, it's funny to me because then we're talking about having a huge visitation, a huge thing coming up, and I'm very excited about that. But it also intrigues me that since Earth began, there have been ETs of various focus and direction around our civilizations. Have there not? They've been reported all the way through history, even in pictographs, right?
Absolutely.
So they're here anyway, right?
So when you get that book, Bloodline of the Gods, he really lays it out. It's one of the best written storylines that I've seen about how everything functions with the ETs and the bloodlines. It's a wonderful book.
Well, talk about the bloodlines. I'm really interested in that. And I will get the book.
Well,
what's the name of the author again? Red?
Nick at Redfern.
Okay, good.
Redford. He talks about the Anaki bringing this particular bloodline many thousands of years ago, and it's his material. I really don't want to go into it because it's his work.
Okay,
but something that I'm adding probably to my work. It's like I'll start asking people if they have Rh negative blood, if they have these starseed markings, and when I start seeing that pattern come up, I'm going to go, wow, I've probably really got something here.
Okay, so now I'm sad because I'm not Rh negative. My daughter is, so that's worth something.
Well, it doesn't mean you're not. It just means there's an emphasis placed on these people.
Okay, good. Well,
Okay.
I'll get the book and I'll hopefully be able to speak with him about that. But I like the idea that you have ways of helping people decide, you know, if it's too vague for them inside of their own intuition, you can help people decide what their role
Right.
is or what they belong to, right?
Right.
So
what happens when I look at a person, when a person calls me for a session, I call them on Skype, I record it, and I hear their voice, I look at their chart, and that takes me to another file in my head that takes me to their cosmic bank account. And that's where I look at credits and debits from other lifetimes. And that's how I start a session. And with that, I start tracking the bloodline, and I start tracking the incarnations that they have chosen to come and be on the planet, the ones where they're aligned to other soul groups that they want to meet in future times.
Hmm.
And that's how I start.
Wow.
So,
I know your book for a long time. I better book.
I'm booked now 3 months in advance. I used to be 2 months in advance, but then when I came back from Arkansas this last time, I was flooded with orders, so now I'm starting to take orders in January. Yeah.
I think what's exciting for me talking to you is that there's a building, you could probably talk about this as well, but there's a huge speed up of vibrational influence, things that we call time. It's changing so fast right now. And with this, it seems like with all these star seeds awakening, it seems like, I don't know, it just all seems to be going very fast, and to be ready for the convergence and the transcendence is wise, eh?
Well, you know, when you click the send button to send an email, mm-hmm. and you think, clicking one click and it goes to Australia in 5 seconds. Think about people's consciousness being hooked up to the internet and how that must look from space.
Isn't that remarkable?
Everybody on their computer sending information back and forth. And the information, of course, is just a stream of energy. But think of the positive energies that are happening with a lot of star seeds that are passing on information through the internet and through forums and through blogs. You know, it's like the 100 monkey theory.
Yeah, really, really. So we're flipping into a whole different way of being. Tell me, do you think Obama's a star seed?
Absolutely. And a walk-in, and a walk-in, and a walk-in, and a walk-in.
Okay.
We've seen so many walk-ins, I've lost count.
Really?
Really.
And that's a good thing. That's because it's like a relay team. They build up their energy and...
It's probably surprising to say, but I'll go ahead and say it. Every major leader of the world has been cloned, and they have at any given time a way that they're going to switch them if they ever get out of line to where they're going to try to blow up our planet. It's not going to happen.
Okay. But it also, cloning has a negative connotation, doesn't it? Or it can. I mean, it can be empathyless, and it can be... You know, without...
Of course, anything can be positive or negative, but the ones in charge of the cloning operations usually don't take the negative path.
Okay.
It's too much for their records.
Wow, this is really exciting. So you think humanity is going to live? You think humanity is going to evolve? You think we're going to be weeded like an over-abundant garden, right?
Yes, we're going to make it. We're here to make sure that we make it, and... A lot of planning has gone into the evolution of this planet, and we can't be watching TV and seeing what's happening in the world and get down on ourselves about what we're seeing, okay? Because mm-hmm. that's just another reality that somebody wants to play on us.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other wonderful things that are happening. These kids that are coming in, these new energies, these new technologies that are helping through alternative medicine. I'm very disturbed about the people that want to poison us with their pharmaceuticals and their GMOs.
Me too.
And I'm also distressed now about that there's so many Blackwater agents. See, Monsanto, they bought Blackwater.
Oh, my
So
goodness.
all those agents were killing people before now have been hired to infiltrate the environmental movement and the
Wow.
metaphysical movement.
Oh, my gosh.
That one is pretty alarming to me. So it's like, be careful about being a whistleblower, because somebody is looking for you to be a whistleblower, and they like to stop you. Yeah.
And is Snowden, is he a starseed? Of course, hey.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is.
Well, so are we going to be
I
able
to... I haven't seen his birth information, but when I look at him, I know that he's been adjusted somewhere.
Yeah, it's really an interesting, he's an interesting, back to Trump and Sanders, he's an interesting kind of thing in the world, in the globe, isn't he? He's an interesting kind of energy force of some sort, you know, right?
Well, the thing that's happening, I think, in politics is that we've seen that the dysfunctionality of what's happening in Washington, and we just want to throw all the bums out. That's what's happening. That's why people are going to Trump and to Sanders, is because they're saying the kind of things that will you know, be totally different than what's happening in Washington.
Mm-hmm. In jumping around a little bit, what about back to that effluent that's coming in from Japan and that horrendous accident? Do you think we can neutralize that? Do you think that can be sorted out?
I think a lot of beings are working on that right now. Yeah. I do.
Okay. And you think the food can be sorted out with the black, with the...
I think everything that we're involved in on the planet has an up spiral answer to everything.
Okay. And HAARP, do you think HAARP has a huge amount to do with the crazy weathers we're having, or do you think a lot of it's just global warming? Just.
Well, we're not the only ones with HAARP. China has HAARP, Russia has HAARP, and when that many HAARPs tune up at once, it does kind of get a little wonky. Yeah. But it's part of what needs to happen at this time, so I try not to have too much judgment about it.
Well, I'm thinking back on how you said if you play music to crops, they can be more nutritious, and I'm going, well, okay, so if we were to turn it around and do a different kind of radiating frequencies consciously with huge, powerful bases, we could maybe neutralize all that, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is a very, very exciting time to be on the planet. And even though it scares me some days, I feel like, oh, this is what we came for. That's deep in my heart. Is, oh, this is what we came for, right?
Exactly right.
Wow.
What I try to do is be the observer and not the participant of anything that could take me down the rabbit hole. You know, when I look at TV and see, you know, the suffering and the dying and the volcanoes, I don't emotionally flinch not one inch. I keep very steady, and I keep my brain from going any direction that would take me into any sadness or any emotional thing that would mess with me. I just don't go there.
So it's like the powerlessness of getting caught under the wheels of our own emotions.
I just stay very, very still when I watch things that are unpleasant. I do not react. I don't flinch. I don't even blink sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do
I have to be that way.
Do you like comedy?
Yeah.
What do you think about Colbert? Do you like him and Jon Stewart? Do you get a kick out of them?
I miss Jon Stewart so much. Jon Stewart was my popcorn night in my bed before I'd go to sleep, and I miss seeing him so much.
Yeah, I
and
think
now
it's,
I'm
now you're what,
Colbert.
Okay. Yeah, because I just think they have really helped us all sort of shake up something, you know. They're wonderful.
Yeah, they do.
Lavendar, it's just been a treat to speak with you. And I want to say it isn't good news, but it is good news, actually. What you've told us is that there's a kind of a plan, and we're evolving, and each of us has a role. And golly, thank you
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you're booked till January, but if you'd like to give people your connection address.
It's starseedhotline.com, and then we have a radio show every Tuesday on Starseed Radio Academy on Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful, and it's a
good show. We have 5 years of archives, and we have a lot of interesting guests that we've brought on in these 5 years. So, but the most listened to show is called Crack Between the Worlds, and it's my story of my walk with George Van Tassel and the experiment that I've been holding on to for over 25 years.
And for those of you who don't know the Integratron, that had a lot to do with the inception of the Integratron, too, that experience you had in A Crack Between Worlds, right?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Wow, it was really...
But thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
I'm absolutely delighted and honored that you would come. Thank you, Lavendar.
And we'll have you back onto our show, too.
I'd love that. And thank you all for listening. Now, tune in to Lavendar's show, Starseed Hotline, at Blog Talk Radio, right?
And yes, Blog Talk Radio, Starseed Radio Academy.
Mm-hmm. And find out if you're starseeds. You probably all are listening to this, right?
People that hear it, they know it, and they go, oh, I think I am. Then other people, it won't even faze them if they're not.
Well, you know, this one other question I have is, I remember years ago reading Starseed Transmissions, that was a really big mover and shaker for me and a lot of us.
Yeah.
Did you have to do with all that? I didn't know your name then.
It was about the same time that I started with the Starseed Transmissions myself. Yeah.
Okay.
His name was Carrie. I think his name was Carrie.
That was Barbara Marciniak, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I the whole thing is just a really wonderful vibrational reality. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Paradigm Shifters. Good night.